Direct from Music City, this is Live from Nashville.
Everything's gonna be alright, 'cause you're the lucky one.
Well, that's Allison Krauss and Union Station, the lucky one. From Nashville, Tennessee, I'm your host, Gary Holt, on this rainy Tuesday in Nashville. And my co-host is my lovely wife, Mary Kay Holt. She'll be back with us in just a moment. But right now, let's take a listen to a great song from a bluegrass queen, Miss Dale Ann Bradley. It's called Love Train. We'll be back in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
Love train, oh, little love train, I get to the station, you're always down the track.
Standing in the
pouring, that feeling I'm losing you. Black coffee, green envy, jealous of the way that you used to love me.
Dalton, Black Coffee, and I am having my second pot of black coffee today.
Well, I can't keep up with that, but I am having my second cup.
Oh, gosh. How are you doing, my friend?
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, I am just up to my neck in snow. There is so – I live at 6,700 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
My car is buried. I mean, it is literally buried. And the guy with the snowplow, my friend who helps me, he can't get anywhere near the car because there's a 15-foot drift in front of it that is really up to about my shoulders. The wind was so bad with this snow that we have drifts that are they're over my head.
Unreal.
I saw
a picture on social media yesterday that you had posted about that, and it was like, I can't believe that. And here we are in Nashville, 70 degrees yesterday.
Oh,
can
just
you believe
rub
that?
It in. My friend called me, Tom called me from Texas this morning, and he said, well, it's 80 degrees down here in Texas. I said, just go on. Just go ahead. You know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it is what it is wherever we are, you know. Yeah, we've got a lot of folks that are having snow, and bless their hearts, we've got friends in Amarillo that have just been devastated by the fires that are going on.
Isn't that awful? All those poor cattle. Oh, my word.
Unbelievable.
A million acres it was yesterday, and only 15% contained. That's scary. That's bad.
It is scary. So our thoughts and prayers are with them, and you stay in and stay warm with all that snow that you've got out there in Nevada.
Are you kidding? I have to go out and try to dig my car out.
Oh, gosh.
I'm trying
oh,
to
gosh.
Make a record. I have a session tomorrow, and
oh, my.
I'm okay. My guitar player can come by and get me and take me to the thing, but I really would like to be playing my guitar today, but I can't because I've got to be trying to dig a new trench so the dogs can actually get out into the yard.
Unreal.
I mean, every day, it's the trench. There was something that looked like a Matterhorn in front of my, it was about a, about a 15-foot peak that was as tall as the door, and the door that has the dog door in it that goes out from the laundry room into where they can go to the bathroom. And,
unbelievable.
It was,
you have yellow snow. You have yellow snow.
Oh, we have all colors of snow out here. It's funny. I have a little yard that I keep them in the winter because it's only about, it's probably about 15 by, 15 area. Because we have big cats up here and coyotes.
Yeah, I was about to say, you have to protect those dogs.
I do. They have a great big yard to run around in, but that fence is only 4.5 feet high and has a electric wire on the top. Well, the electric wire is out of service right now, so I have to keep them in the house, and they don't care. And in this small yard, but they think being in the house is just fine. They actually are house dogs, and they're huge. I have three great big dogs.
We do too. We have two big dogs in the house.
Do you? What have you guys?
Well, we have one of our daughters, Addie, is off to college. So she left her dog, who is, I would call Milo a medium-sized dog. Not that big, but Mary Kay and I adopted a puppy from the National Humane Society when we moved here.
Oh, thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Well, we didn't
and
know
he was
that
just a little guy. Go ahead.
Turned into a horse.
Tell him.
He's a big boy.
What do you think he is?
Oh, gosh.
He's
definitely a lab. Yeah, he's
definitely a lab.
But
we think part Great Dane, too.
Yeah.
Oh, lab and Great Dane. I've never seen that cross.
Yeah.
You know, it was so funny. I was just talking. I wish I could remember the name of this dog food. There was a famous star, and I am just really at a loss for this, who they have 55 Great Danes, and they have rescued 1,500 or 15,000 dogs over their lifetime, and he designed a dog food for big dogs, and I can't remember what the dog food is called, but they have it at Petco, and they have it at where you order online for it. And I'm going to find out what that dog was. They had a Great Dane that lived to be 27 years old.
That's remarkable.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. That's unbelievable. Yeah. They usually die when they're 10.
Yeah, because
but
bigger
they,
dogs
they
just don't have
the
life
food.
Expectancy.
Yeah,
unreal.
They believed it was food. So I need
to
get my facts underneath
see,
me that I'm going to get some of this dog food because my dogs are big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's so funny to see Mary Kay laying on the couch and then Sam, we named this dog Sam. Sam just loves to climb up on that couch with her, and you can hardly see her. You can hardly see Mary Kay because
Mary Kay's
it's
a
hilarious.
Little thing. Unless you're a Great Dane, you probably look like a child.
Yeah. But anyway, it's funny.
He thinks he's a lap dog.
He does think he's a lap dog.
They
but
all
he's
do.
A sweetheart.
You know,
sweetheart.
I love these dogs. I just rescued a Great Pyrenees. It was so funny when you were playing Black Coffee. She was starving when I got her. Somebody had puppies with her and then just dumped her out. And I called the sheriff to pick her up because she was so thin and so scared. And the sheriff picked her up, and I called him 2 weeks later, and I said, Sheriff, I said, have you got any calls on that Great Pyrenees? I said, we put it out on the internet. We haven't heard a thing. He said, we haven't had one call. And I said, well, I'm going to come up and meet this dog and see if we get along. So I went up there, and while we were looking at this dog to see what her temperament was like, she was just shaking and just scared to death. And just skinny, so skinny I could put my hand over about right above her hips, and all my little hand fit over that place right above.
Oh.
Wow! Her,
I mean, she's a big dog, and
yeah.
She was only a year and a half old, and she walked right. I knelt down, and she walked right into my arms and put her head on my shoulder, and she was scared to death, shaking, doing that. And I thought, well, I guess this is how I'm getting my next dog.
Yeah,
that's how it happened.
That did it.
That
did it. Was so funny. You guys were playing Black Coffee, and she kept looking at the phone and cocking her head one way and then cocking her head the other way. Cocking her head.
What's going on, Mom?
She's the sweetest thing. My dogs are really, really nice dogs. They're my company.
Wow.
And I don't worry. I live up here on this mountain by myself, and I don't worry
about
it.
You're an animal lover.
If they can get past these dogs, they can have me.
Oh, gosh. Hey, I want to get to some more music. So you've done a compilation album, I guess, called Can't Tell Your Heart Who to Beat For. And
I think it's the fourth one I've done for Time Life.
Wow. So how did this album come about? Because some of my favorite songs are on this thing.
Really? Well, they wanted to. They wanted love songs, and they said, "Do an album of love songs." And oddly, I don't write a lot of love songs. I just don't seem to write a lot of love songs. I wish I did, because that's what people want to hear. But I have written a few, and a lot of them are sad. You know, when I think about my love life, I don't always think about it with great joy. I had a long marriage of 20 years that just ended in the worst possible way. You can live with somebody 20 years, and you do not know that person at all. I remember he always said, you know, if he was my business manager, he always said, well, you know, if in the unlikely event that we ever fall out of love and I leave you, I will give you the business. And well, sir, he gave me the business. And I wrote a song about it. It's on this record. It's called Scarecrow.
Oh gosh. Well, I don't have that one. I don't have that one to play.
Oh, yeah,
today,
now I
want to
hear
That's a weird song.
It's the most unusual song I've ever written, and it's an interesting song. And I think the recording, Ira Ingber, who's a wonderful producer from L.A., produced it, and he played slide guitar on it. And I think it's one of the best recordings I've ever made, but it's almost an Appalachian-sounding song. It's real different. I think it's one of the most different songs that I've ever written.
We may try to get that before the show's up.
Well,
maybe we can do that.
Well, you got stuff there, so we'll talk about what you got.
Yeah, let's talk about this. So this one is the first song we're going to get to after Black Coffee, which is one of my favorites because I can just sit here and keep drinking.
Me too. You and I need IVs.
I think so.
Oh, that would be frightening.
Well, I would save a lot of coffee cups. I have coffee. Do you do this, Gary? I walk around the house with a cup of coffee, and I'll put it down. And then I can't find it. I have done that. Cup of coffee. I hate that. Then I pour another one.
I have done that.
And then you have another.
Sometimes I have three cups of coffee sitting around that I am, don't remember where I put them.
Well, I will go around with a cup of coffee, and it gets cold, and I stick it in the microwave to warm it up, and then I go off, and then I've got another cup, and then suddenly I try to warm it up, and there's the other cup in the microwave.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're definitely addicts. We need help. We need counseling.
That happens. That's right.
Yeah.
All right. But you can't tell your heart. We're going to listen to this. You can't tell your heart to beat for. Who to beat for? We're going to listen to that, come back, talk more with our good friend, Lacey J. Dalton. We're just going to have fun today.
All right,
live from Nashville.
Yes, we are.
All right.
You can ride the crazy wind, let it take you in the night. You can spill adrenaline. It's a rush you cannot fight. You can let your feelings loose. You can rage at me.
to hide. You can lie to yourself about the way you feel inside. But no matter what you do, you just can't close that door.
I hadn't done all those high parts in that song, or that I wish they would have been shorter. You know, just would have been plenty. You know, sometimes when you listen to a recording after you have, I haven't heard it since I cut it, which was maybe 4 or 5 years ago, and I'm going, oh, I could have made that so much better. But it was new. The song was new. I have a friend who had a wonderful lover for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And suddenly he just wasn't there anymore. And I felt so bad, and I've been in that place. You know, and it is it's the kind of thing where you're so in love with someone that, you know, if they came back after all the cruel things they might have done, you actually might let them, and you hate yourself for it. You go, what is wrong with me? You know, what in the world? You know, I'd like to cut that song again. Now that I hear it, I like the track, but I didn't, the vocal was, I didn't like those high notes so much. At least not that much of them.
That well, it was funny because I have a chat room that I can go into. So I got into the chat room with Mary Kay while that song was playing, and she was going, ooh, and it was like, okay. She's singing along. She's having a ball.
I don't think my falsetto is that pretty when I hear it back. But I was, you know, I was experimenting. I like to try different textures when I'm singing. different things. And on this song, I tried a texture, and now that I listen to it back, I think, no, it would have been less, would have been more on that. Though I like the lyric, because the lyric was totally real. I was talking to my friend, you know. I know how you feel. I've been there. It's a, you know, when you're, you know, I'm a hopeless romantic, and so, you know, I get into these situations where, you know, you really fall in love with somebody. And, I mean, her relationship was probably 25 years long.
Oh, wow.
And those are tough. You know, those are really tough. Especially if it's too late in life, you know. What happens is, you know, you're devastated emotionally, but also you can be devastated financially if someone has access to things. Like in my case, that was the case. So I was, I think I was turning, I was 59 and a half years old, and just like, holy cow, you know, the whole thing fell out. You know, it was like, you know, I had no business manager. The bank accounts were emptied. It was, you know, it was a real thing, and it was like that. You know, my mother and my grandmother always used to tell me, "Don't let anybody into your money. Don't let anybody have." But when you're married to somebody, you think it's. I mean, I thought I'd be sitting on a rocking chair with this guy in my 90s. And I think that's what you have if you want to believe in love, if you want to believe in a lover, and you keep it fresh. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, people do grow apart, you know, over a period of years sometimes. It just happens. And it's sometimes those things, you know, the obstacle, the challenge really becomes the way that you grow. It's not the most wonderful and pleasant thing. In fact, it can be devastating to the point where you think you cannot keep going. But if you find that you do, and I think it helps to believe in something higher than ourselves.
Right. I do too.
That
right.
you
I
can
think...
depend on whatever you call that, however you access
right.
that power, and that brings you closer to that. Which is the only real power on earth. It's the only power that's worth having. There's all kinds of social power and political power, but the only power worth having is the power that comes from that which is higher than yourself.
Oh, I love that, Lacey. Love that.
I really,
so
I really truly believe that. What'd you do?
Guess what I did? Guess what I did? Because you were talking about Scarecrow.
Oh.
And how it related to the subject that we're talking about, I pulled it up. And we're going to take a listen to Scarecrow right now. We'll be back in just a moment on Live from Nashville. So here we go.
All right.
Scarecrow flapping in the dust, bowl weeping. Never gonna pass this way again. And if by chance I'm back this way, nothing around here's gonna be the same. As everything changes, nothing stays the same. Everything changes. Open eye. Across the moon, train blowing back here soon. Listen to what the old folks say about how fast time slips away, how everything changes, nothing stays the same, everything changes. While I was playing love for keeps, you were playing games. Now everything is different without you. Everything is different without you. You were shallow, weak and cruel. I was just a crazy fool about you. About you. About you. Friends all say that there is life beyond you. Once this pain stops eating me alive. For years and years I rested my trust on you. And I just can't believe how hard this precious soul dreamed in a dead old tree. Well, I had you and you had me. One of us to take the blame. I ain't calling any names. Everything changes. Nothing stays the same. Everything changes. I'm standing at the railway station waiting for the train. Oh, see, everything is different without you. Everything is different without you. I thought your love was deep and strong. How could I have been so wrong about you? About you. Things are twisted, weird and strange. I'm come undone, I'm rearranged. Without you, without you, without you. Scarecrow flapping in a dust bowl wind. Never gonna pass this way again.
Oh, wow. Lacey, it's so cool having such a great songwriter as yourself on the show. As a fellow songwriter, I listened to that, and there are a couple things I noticed. One of the things I noticed is that you've got these lyrics that are very raw, but you've got a musical bed underneath it that feels like it's moving forward, like moving towards the future.
You know, it's funny now that you say that. Now when I sing that song in the last verse, I don't add that last chorus of things are twisted, weird, and strange. I just say, you know, everything is different without you. Everything is, I'm standing at the railway station waiting for the train. And that, I end the song with that notion rather than, you know, I'm still, you know, I was still messed up when I wrote this song. This song took me 10 years to write. to actually write. And I remember the first time I ever sang it, I was at one of the really great radio stations out on the West Coast that is specializes in Americana music. And the song was so much about my relationship of 20 years that had just disintegrated, just smithereens. My heart was just blown into smithereens. And when I sang this song live on the radio, I realized I was shaking the first time I ever sang it. So it meant a lot to me. It was a song I just had to get out of me, because it was just the way that you feel when your heart has been blown to smithereens. You're shattered. And I know a lot of people who've had divorces and they just go, oh yeah, well, you know, Joe and I, we broke up, but we were together for 15 years, but we, you know, we just grew apart and it was cool. We're still friends, you know? And I think, you know, a lot of people just don't seem to, my sister and I are the same way. My sister had a marriage that ended really horribly. And, and she was the same way. She was just devastated. I don't know. It's just some of us are just different than others. But when my long relationship, it was a business relationship as well as a creative one, an artistic one. We wrote a lot of songs together. We produced the Last Well Place anthology together, which was had lots and lots of accolades and has won a lot of prizes.
Yeah, great.
And stuff. He was the engineer on that. He's a wonderful engineer, just a great recording engineer. And when that went away, it was like my whole life suddenly, it was like, okay, time for a hard reset. It wasn't fun. I mean, I remember going to the grocery store, and I went down to buy some groceries. And when I put the card in, the woman said, I'm sorry, you don't have any money in this account. And I said,
wow.
She said, you only have $6. And I just went, oh no.
Oh, wow.
I said, oh, I'm going through a divorce. I guess I know what happens. She said, honey, I just went through the same thing myself. Don't you worry. You just take these few things you need. I'll put the rest away. The same thing happened to me about 3 months ago.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And it was so wonderful because, I mean, I was just, it was like such a shock and such a painful thing that somebody that you'd been with that long and been very, very good to could pull that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that moment of mercy at the grocery store, too.
Oh, I tell you.
Someone understanding.
You know what? People can really help you at that, you know, people supported. I had so much support from people. And if I hadn't, I don't know that I would have made it. I was so shocked and devastated. And I don't think all divorces are like that, you know. Well, Mary Lou decided she didn't want to be married anymore, so off she went, and I got me a new girl, you know. I mean, it's like most people don't go through the things, you know. And sometimes I think, what is, you know, is there something wrong with me? Why am I so different?
My sister's
Gary, you should tell Lacey about when you found out I was going through divorce. Tell her that
story. So
tell our audience
Lacey J. So I Mary Kay had been a guest on the radio show probably about 8, 9 years, 10 years, something like that, and was always a great guest. But that was kind of it, you know. And I enjoyed her and enjoyed her music. She's very articulate. And I was doing a series during the pandemic called The Living Room Sessions, and so that was the series where I introduced the guests. They sent me all the music that they needed, but I let them do the show just like they were in a concert, because people couldn't get out for concerts and they couldn't perform. She was one of the guests.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, she was one of the guests. So I had called her and I said, Mary Kay, I need a couple more pieces of music that you'd like. And so we were talking, and then she suddenly just broke down and she said, my husband's divorced me. And I said, Mary Kay, what are you doing Friday night? No, I did not say that. I promise. I did not say that. I did say that 50% of the people in the country are divorced, and you'll be okay. And then I called a couple of friends, one in Texas, one in New Mexico, and said, you girls need to call her. She's pretty upset. But she gave up a marriage of 32 years, and months later, we started talking more, and so we finally got together, and so she gave up a marriage of 32 years, but she got me. So that was the prize.
Wow. You know? Oh, I am so happy for you. 32
yeah.
years, Mary Kay. I thought 20 was long.
Yeah.
30.
And
no,
children.
Well, and
children.
How many children?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I'm so glad that I didn't have to. I'm really glad he didn't try to take the dogs. He was too busy with his new girlfriend. You know, but if he tried to take the dogs, I probably would have shot him.
Yeah, there you go. He probably
I was never married that long, but you know, it's like you just go on. Life does get better and things improve. You finally, after for me, 14 years single before I finally found my gay.
You know, isn't it good to know that you can be single and it can actually be just fine?
Yeah.
It's. I mean, you wish. You know, you wish you had somebody to go to dinner with sometimes. But you know, you got your friends, and you know, you can make it through. But boy, the devastation of the abomination. You know, where the abomination of desolation when somebody says, you know, I was widowed very young, and people used to ask me, you know, what is it like to be widowed? And I said, well, it's very sad, but I've always thought, this was before I ever had a divorce, I always thought divorce would be much worse. And they said, why? I said, because when somebody dies, they don't stop loving you.
Right.
They just die. We all do. And, you know, the thing is that, you know, with a divorce, somebody stops loving you and may even hate you or treat you as though they do.
Yeah,
and
that is
so much. When my husband died, he didn't stop loving me, and I didn't stop loving him. That's my father, my son's father. I mean, I will love him forever.
Yeah,
you know. And I wrote a song for my husband called "You're Never Gonna Lose My Love." But boy, I'll tell you what, he put that song through its paces. And I have to say, you know, I've forgiven him because, you know, when you are in this business, there are so many stresses, and you know, you're constantly dealing with a lot of difficult things with people and with, you know, trying to keep a band on the road and, you know, stuff that happens.
Yeah.
It's not an easy life. It really isn't. It seems like it might be, and maybe at certain levels. I doubt it very much. I mean, when I think of some of the people that are out there working today, and their careers are so huge, like the career of Taylor Swift. What kind of pressures? And then all the negativity that people want to put on that beautiful person who does nothing but good.
Yeah.
You know,
gives millions of dollars away. Yeah,
to every place
so
you
we
play,
started,
to the food banks and stuff. Gosh, I mean,
you
know, I can't imagine criticizing someone like that.
You know, she went to school. She went to school here in Nashville, in Hendersonville, and she's given thousands and thousands of dollars to her high school where she graduated. And,
that absolutely doesn't surprise me at all about her. She's kind of like a little angel that's come here, and when I hear these people criticize her, I'm thinking, well, you know, really, you can criticize someone that's doing that? I may not know her music, and they may not know her music, or maybe they do know her music, and I don't think with her it's about the music. I think it's more about her, who she is.
I think so, and I think obviously I think there's a little jealousy that's connected with all of that.
I can't figure it out. With me, it's like, I know, I just can't figure it out. Somebody, they say she's the most influential person in the world right now.
Wow.
It's pretty amazing, Lacey J, to see what the ticket prices were for the Super Bowl, because her boyfriend was playing in it and she showed up, and it was like unreal, the prices.
I guess they made more money than they ever have.
I would imagine somebody was happy. Hey, we started something new on the shows several months ago. We had several people, several performers over to the house, and we were sitting around the dining room table and had finished our meal, and all of a sudden, these performers started telling their road stories, what had happened to them on the road. And we were dying laughing, and some of them you could tell on the air, and some you couldn't. But I want to play a song. Most of them you can't. But I want to get to another song. I want to get to the song. When we come back, I want you to share a road story with us, because I know you got some.
Are you sure? Be careful what you wish for.
We're going to be careful. We're going to play Slip Away. We'll be back in just a minute on Live from Nashville. We're just having too much fun today with Lacey J. Dalton.
Sometimes you need a lover, sometimes you just need a friend, sometimes you just need someone on whom you can depend. Sometimes the heart gets hungry, you're just too weak to fight. You go out and find a stranger to help you keep away the night. Love's elusive as a shadow, love's as restless as try to hold on, it'll slip away again. We're all looking for the same thing. Sometimes it's so hard to choose between the ones who really love you and the ones who say they do. Don't stop looking till you find it. Don't stop looking till you do. Might be out there in the deep. Next to you, love's elusive as a shadow, love's as restless as the wind. Don't try to hold on, it'll slip away. Heart gets hungry, and it must be fed again. Love's elusive as a shadow, love's as a restless as the wind. Don't try to hold on, it'll slip away. Love's elusive as a shadow, love's as restless as the wind. Don't try to hold on, it'll slip away.
From Nashville, heard around the world, heard around the world on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and most other streaming platforms. Just search for Equestrian Legacy Radio. Well, we are talking with our good friend Lacey J. Dalton, and she is about to share a road story with our worldwide audience.
Well, it's funny that you should ask about this one. That song, Slip Away, you know, I had this lover by the name of Willard. And your Willard was, he was my guitar player, and we were an item for about 5 or 6 years. And at some point, your Willard, being the hard charger that he was, got it into his head that he needed to run off with an intravenous drug-using prostitute and leave me in the dust. And about 3 weeks after he left, I get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's your Willard. And Willard goes, Bertie. He always called me Bertie. Bertie, Mary, Aunt Hosford and I got together. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. Hosford and I got together. We wrote the perfect Lacey J. Dalton song. It's the perfect Lacey J. Dalton song. And I said, Willard, I said, do you realize it is 3 o'clock in the morning? And anyway, I hate you. I don't give a damn about your song. And he said, Bertie, we're going to come over right now. You got to hear it. I said, you are not coming over. Well, first thing in the morning. We'll be over there for... So, of course, he didn't show up first thing in the morning. It was probably a few weeks later when his hard-charging self got it together. But I heard this song, Slip Away, and I loved it immediately. And I still love it every time I sing it. You know, Willard has passed on now, but, I mean, I remember every year of his life after that, after he had to climb out a window of a bedroom window in Florida to escape this woman who was apparently some kind of nutcase. He called me every year and, Bertie, I got this beautiful farm in Pennsylvania. You can have a horse. You don't have to work. Come on, marry me. Good. Willard, that boat has sailed. That boat has slipped away. But there was a silver lining, because this song, Slip Away, has been a song that I have loved to sing. You know, and I did love Willard. I just, you know, he was the kind of person, I'll never forget, we were on the stage at Harris, and I was doing a rather serious song, and the audience was just cracking up.
Wow.
And I thought, what are they laughing at? This is a really serious song. And then I turned around and looked behind me, and here's Willard in a turkey costume, flapping his wings, going, gobble, 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 gobble. I laughed every day that I was with him. He was this Irish. He was like a giant Irish leprechaun. He was just so funny. And
Bertie.
You know, so Slip Away was a wonderful, I will never get tired of singing it.
Well, it is a great song. Absolutely.
It's really a good song.
I love it. I love it. Well, give us a road story. It may include Willard or not. Give us a road story.
Well, that was a road story. Well, I was doing a road story.
Willard in the turkey costume. That's a good road story.
All right.
Well, there are many that I can tell, most of which I cannot tell on the radio.
We're going to have to get together. I can tell. We're going to have to get together. Oh, gosh.
You know,
well,
I'm proud of your work that you're doing with the Wild Horses, and I really am thrilled. You guys got 3,500 adopted last year?
It was over 3,200 last year.
Wow.
And
wow.
More than that the year before. I think we were closer to 34, closer to 35
wow.
before that.
You know, a horse isn't something that you can just give to somebody. They're going to last 18, 20 years. You know, and
that's
it's
right.
an expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive to keep a horse, especially now. Boy,
today.
Out here,
yeah.
hay is unbelievable. But congratulations, and thank you for the work that you're doing with the Wild Horses.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, there are over 50,000 wild horses in government holding facilities, and over 80,000 on BLM lands, over 100,000 on Native American lands. And
that's the hard part right there.
Yeah. And then more in the National Forest Service has more wild horses there. So our goal has always been to try to find homes for these horses that are in holding because they make wonderful companions for people. And,
The non-domesticated horses, the wild horses, bond a little differently than when they bond with you. They bond a little differently. And we found in our work with the wild horses that for folks with PTSD, it seems like the domestic horses are very good. The outside of a horse is good for the inside of a human.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
But
right.
the wild horses that have been gentle and aren't afraid of people are even better. They do. Something magic happens with people with post-traumatic stress syndrome and head injuries and so on. Happens. It seems that the people who do the work with these horses tell me that they do it a little bit better than the domestic horses.
Well, and I think people that have PTSD can relate. I think they can relate to the wild horses because they have been displaced in different situations. You know.
Boy, it's I tell you, Willard was a Vietnam veteran, the guy we were just talking about, and he had PTSD, and I had another. Friend who was a Lakota, a war hero, a wonderful person, and he had PTSD, and it's no fun. It's no fun at all. But the horses have a way of calming that, and very quickly. It's a pretty effective when they work with the. People who are working with PTSD and horses, the folks with PTSD come around pretty quickly. It's amazing what the bonding with an animal like that, and horses are particularly good at it.
Well,
they
horses are.
Are
great at it, and so whether it's a first responder that's going through PTSD or whether it's we have several people that have equine therapy programs with their Mustangs that work with children that have been in abusive situations, and it works beautifully with them. And,
it's amazing. We've had kids out here who've never spoken a single word, kids that are on the spectrum.
Yeah.
After they work in these equine therapy programs, either with domestic or with gentled wild horses, they make huge strides quickly. It's some kind of magic. We don't really understand how it works, but it works.
It is.
Well,
really,
they are special,
powerful.
And I know that that any afternoon that I had been stressed out all day, and when I could get out and brush on my horse, if I just brushed on my horse.
Yep, it just there's something
horse,
about it, and the cowboys always said it. The cowboys, all the old cowboys used to say, the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man.
Good for the inside of a man. That's right.
And the Indians, native people, used to say, and I didn't really understand them, but they would say, the horses take our burdens. And what I thought they were talking about is that they carried their tents and their stuff from one campsite to another. That is not what they were talking about. They were talking about emotional burdens.
That's exactly right. That is exactly.
So, and it, you know, nobody really understands how it works, but it works. And it works really up and walking well. And so what you're doing, saving these, the lives of these wild horses, and it is a huge challenge. I have, I recently wrote to the state of, I have a foundation called the Let 'em Run Foundation for Wild Horses.
That's right.
And I've had that since about 2003. I started working with it in 1998. And I wrote a letter to the state of Wyoming and said, you know, you guys have lots of land out there. And the wild horses are a problem to you now, but they could be such a, if you had a place near Yellowstone Park and you had a very, very large sanctuary and you controlled the birth rate of the horses on that sanctuary, but you could allow people to interact with them in a non-invasive way, it would create another reason to come to Wyoming. It would provide jobs for people there. People are fascinated with wild horses from all over the world. Fascinating.
That's right.
You could do trail rides. You could do, it's been, you know, it's always been my hope. We almost got it done here in Nevada. We almost got it done. We had a bill. It was on the bottom of a bill for Afghanistan. A couple of the senators here were helping us. And but it got cut because it really was pork on a bill to, for fighting Afghanistan. But
interesting.
We got very, very far with doing a wild horse interpretive center in that way, where people could interact with the horses on photographic safaris in a non-invasive way, you know, observing.
That's right.
Like you do the bears in Yellowstone Park. You don't want to walk up and pet a bear or a buffalo, though people do. Unfortunately for them, usually. But it, that is, I think that would be, if we had sanctuaries in different themes, like a vaquero theme in Texas.
Right.
That would be amazing.
You know, that's been something that we've been promoting for a long time. Not able to quite get it to engage, but boy, if we all work together on that, I do think that can happen, and I do think it would be not only wonderful for the wild horses, but wonderful for American people and for visitors from all over the world. It could become a real jewel.
I think so. And you mentioned we're doing a big event here in Franklin, Tennessee, on June the 20th through the 23rd. And
what are you guys
we're
doing?
We're giving away $150,000 in cash prizes.
I'm coming.
We're having you need to come. We're doing an extreme Mustang makeover. We're having an open show for Mustangs, and we are having a celebrity freestyle event with people like Bobby Kerr and Dan James coming and competing in that.
Wow, this is great.
And the weekend before that, we are having an all-Mustang trail ride in the Big South Fork National Forest.
Oh,
East Tennessee.
How excited.
Incredible. How many people will be attending that?
I'm not sure what will show up for the trail ride yet. We just announced it this past weekend, but the response has been tremendous already.
Well, I'll tell you who you should ask is Jimmy Fortune.
All right.
Oh, Jimmy Fortune.
All right.
Yeah,
like
we had a trail ride. We had a celebrity trail ride out here, and David Frizzell came on it. And we had.
Well, this is up close to where David is now.
Well, you should ask him. I'll tell you what, his back's kind of a mess. I don't know. I don't know if he'd do it, but he might do it.
Yeah,
and
so
Jimmy loves the wild horses, and he's done. He came out to do. You know, Rex Allen came out, and Marty Haggard came out to do this thing. We had so many wonderful entertainers come out and do a big festival that we had for the wild horses, and we did a celebrity trail ride with them, and they came out on it, and it was great. It was you'll be successful, and you'll never forget it.
That's going to be a great idea.
We're
it's going to be a great
excited.
Event. But anyway, we're looking forward to that. I'm going to play some more music, and then we're going to come back and talk more, probably about horses and maybe Willard. I don't know what we'll talk about, but we're going to come back.
I think this we've talked quite enough about Willard, all right?
Yeah, I think that's his quota.
We've worn that one out. All right. Little Boy Blue, Lacey J. Dalton. We'll be right back.
Hey, little boy, I'm so proud of you. The things you are and the things you do, you're my little boy blue. My little boy blue. No matter what comes down, I'll always love you. The moon is dark, the midnight deep. Miles to go before I sleep, but I'll dream of you, my little boy blue. No matter what comes down, I'll always love you. 100,000 miles down some old highway, I stopped just long enough to understand. While I let all these years go flying by me, the little boy I love turned into a man. But safe inside me, I will keep a vision, and you'll always be my little boy blue. My little boy blue. No matter what comes down, I'll always love you.
Foundation, I think in we formed it in about 2000, and we thought we had our paperwork in for our 501c3 charitable organization document that we needed to be able to do what we did. And apparently the lawyer that we hired, we kept calling and where is our stuff, you know, why haven't we been, and finally we realized that the lawyer who had done the work for us had not done it properly. And somebody from the IRS was kind enough to tell us that. Well, one of my board members from the at that time called the IRS. He was a banker, and he called the IRS, and he begged them to help us. He said, we've been waiting for 3 years for this thing. Can you please, you know, expedite it? Our, apparently the lawyer that we hired did something incorrect. And so the IRS was great. You know, the IRS has been great. Honestly, as awful as the reputation as they have, they've always been great for me. They've always been absolutely, they've been very, they're not scary. The only time they get scary is when you don't call them.
Okay.
You have to communicate.
Don't tell Willie that. But yeah.
Well, whatever Willie does, he seems to be just fine with him. I mean, they got a lot of money from him. I'll tell you.
He is now. Yeah.
He is now. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, that must have been a horrible shock. Oh, that much money. Oh my word! I can't remember what it was, but it was some ungodly
millions.
Amount
yeah.
of money.
Yeah.
It happened
yeah.
like three
yeah.
times. It was like. You can do, but the IRS, the agent did fast track it for us because he knew we'd been waiting for so long. So I think we finally got it in 2003, and we've been, what we really do, at first I was hands-on and did stuff like that, but later on I thought, you know, the best thing for me to do and for my group to do is to raise money for, you know, to help the hands-on people, the mom-and-pop groups, not the big groups. They fund
right.
themselves pretty well. But the little mom-and-pop groups who end up really getting more horses down the road rehomed and rehabilitated and rescued than a lot of the really big groups do. And we figure out who those people are, and those are the groups I like to fund, and those are the groups that Let 'Em Run likes to fund because they don't have the time. A lot of them, well, some of them do have the time. They raise a lot of money themselves, but they don't have the time to raise that little extra money that we can raise for them. And we just
right.
did a benefit up in Virginia City at a little place called the Red Dog Saloon, which is an historic old saloon that's been there. Janis Joplin used to play there, and the Charlatans and all those places. It's a great place to – it's the best place to play in the world. I love playing there. I love the people that run it. Lauren and Sue run it, and it's a great place. But we raised $28,000 in this little place that only holds maybe 150 or 200 people.
Oh, wow.
And it was great. We just dispensed that money to a lot of these, like I said, mom-and-pop groups that are doing these projects where they'll get, you know, we keep track of how many horses they rescue and rehabilitate within a certain amount of time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
we watch very carefully who's actually doing the work and who's just talking about it. And we give the money to the people where we really see the work being done and horses getting homed and rescued. And we also buy equipment for some of the rescue people. They have to. There's a group here that we like to support that is the only group in the. It's a. Works through the state of Nevada, so their equipment has to be up to par at all times. And they have a lot of needs to repair equipment and buy new equipment and stuff. We like to fund people like that. But that's the work that's the work that we do. I'm not hands-on anymore.
I got you.
But I did it long enough to understand what it takes, and boy, it takes some dedication.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, how is our friend Eddie Floyd? And he had a sanctuary rescue, didn't he?
We just donated some money to them. For many years, they took care of his wife Shari. Took care of 103 horses for the Hidden Valley Group, and she actually in all those years, maybe it was 12, 13 years, only ever lost three horses.
Oh, wow.
That is amazing. One of them was somebody had dumped a big truck of green apples into the field, and one of the mares
got
into that and ate them all and died. And they had another horse step in a gopher hole, and I don't know what happened to the other one, but for all of those years, if you have ever run a horse farm, you know that's a pretty darn good record.
It's a 600-acre place
that they have. Well, it's a little more than that now, I guess. But they had 103 horses there. Now they've only got, they probably only got 30 or 40 there now, but they're still doing rescue work, and, you know, they're both Social Security age and stuff like that. So we were happy to, she wrote me back a letter. She said, oh, thank God, now I can buy hay. But hay is, talk about green gold. I wish I were a hay farmer.
Hay out here is
$24 a bale. Grass hay.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you believe that?
Unreal.
I haven't seen it lower than that in a very long time. And in California, it's outrageous.
Well, it's high back here in Tennessee, too.
No. Mm-hmm. Tell me it's not true.
With
even
all
there, where you have plenty of water and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
But, we kind of went through a little bit of a drought situation this past summer and fall. So not like
with,
it is that west.
With all the flooding that you had in the spring?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But anyway. I was just going to say, tell Eddie, Heidi for me, because it's been years since we've actually talked. The very first time, Lacey, that you were on the show, we had Eddie Floyd on as well, and we talked about his rescue, and that's been a number of years ago.
Well, he runs a radio station out here now, and he has for years and years and years. I had a show for 6 years on it called Mustang Matters. And now they've had, I think they got a new tower, and they have a lot more listeners now. And he's still doing that, going strong.
Well, tell him howdy.
I will, Gary. That'll make him, I just talked to him yesterday.
Well, that's great. Nice guy.
I'll tell you what, his wife is an amazing advocate. Just an amazing, and a wonderful manager of a big piece of property like that. I mean, in 12 or 13 years to only lose three horses, and none of them were anything she could have done anything about. You know, they were, I can't remember what happened to the third horse, but the first two that I told you about, I do remember, and I remember her, just, she was so upset. His people came and dumped like a truckload of green apples into their, which is, you know, they're way, I don't even know how they get back far enough to do that. It's a big ranch, and they somehow found a way to dump all these apples in there, and they probably thought they were doing a wonderful thing.
We had people
out here that feed our wild horses, and we beg them not to.
You know, it was kind of interesting because I saw something, a post on Facebook, I think, not too long ago, where the wild horses were just laying around in people's front yards.
Oh, that happens all the time. I used to have 30 or 40 pass through my front yard every day.
And they're all part of the state, aren't they? They're all part of the state?
Well, the state, it depends what side of the river they're on or the highway.
Okay.
If they're on one side of the highway, they're BLM horses. If they're on the other side of the highway, they're state horses. It's
crazy.
It was a glitch in the law. They determined that up here in the Virginia Range Mountains, which is just east, Reno sits in a deep valley between the Sierras on the west and this smaller mountain range where I live called the Virginia Range, where Virginia City is, the old town of Virginia City. We have the Virginia Range herd up here, and there are about 3,000 horses. There have always been about 2,500 of them.
A large herd, yeah.
But they were, when the BLM went through, they said this area was horse-free because the horses had probably migrated across the river into the Pine Nut Range. So they said that any horses that were on this side of the river were state horses, and the other side of the river, they were BLM horses. Well, the horses go back and forth all the time. It's a weird glitch, and the state has neither the money nor the manpower nor the will to do anything with these wild horses except be a problem for the horse advocates. They are not particularly helpful. And you know, it's kind of like the Bureau of Land Management. They make a big show of adopting horses, but in fact, they are very, very difficult to work with. Impossible, I think. I stopped doing that years and years ago, you know.
Wow.
I do appreciate the work that does get done through the BLM. We have my friends and I started the Let Them Run Foundation and the Virginia Range Wildlife Protection Association. Their president and I was president of my group. We got together and bought the first panels and equipment to start a program down at the Warm Springs Prison in Carson City.
Okay.
The BLM came in. That was for the Virginia Range horses. BLM came in and decided they took over that program, which was absolutely wonderful. That is a wonderful thing. And that program is still going today. It is very successful, and they adopt a lot of horses out of there. That is something I don't think people even remember that VRWPA and Let 'Em Run actually started that program and bought the first panels and stuff. We were so concerned because the state had neither the money nor the manpower nor the will to do anything with the wild horses except be a problem. They were considered them a problem and range rats, and the Department of Agriculture still does not see that they have, you know, up here in the gold country, we had the largest gold strike ever. In the Comstock gold strike was like the biggest gold strike ever. Well, they were throwing away this gray mud when they were mining for gold. They didn't realize for years and years and years that it was silver that they were throwing away. And it was a huge amount of money in the silver.
Yeah.
That's how Nevada is. They don't realize that they have the most incredible opportunity to bring more tourism to Nevada by having a wild horse interpretive center, a big one, thousands of acres.
Well,
they have the room to do it. They just don't have the will. It's too bad.
People would love that.
And I've been preaching that to the folks for years and years, saying, and that's why I wrote to the state of Wyoming. I thought maybe if it was near Yellowstone Park that might make, and Wyoming has room. I don't know that Montana, the land out there, is so valuable and so expensive. I don't know that they'd have it, but I think Wyoming still has some places that could actually do that. And Nevada certainly does, but it doesn't have, you can't get people to see the wisdom of doing something like that, even though we really could use some tourism here in northern Nevada of that type. You know, the ecotourism that's a healthy, that attracts really great visitors. That attracts visitors that are not a problem. You know, that
the better
attracts,
use of resources.
So your audience is probably wanting to hear more music.
I'm going to get more music.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're enjoying the conversation.
Audience loves both. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I hope you guys out there in Radio Land are enjoying hearing about our wild horses, and maybe somebody out there is a billionaire who could see his way clear to buying a bunch of land, a big bunch of land, and having an interpretive center for the wild horses so that they would be here for our children and our grandchildren forever instead of wiping them out because they think they're a problem, just like the gold miners threw out that silver. We're throwing out the wild horses, and that is stupid.
not to be judgmental
or anything.
No, not at all.
You know me, opinionated.
We are running out of time, and you are so much fun to visit with and talk with, and love having you on the show. Every time we've ever had
so
you,
enjoyed
so, I love
this. So enjoyed
being, this. Love being here. Love talking to you guys, and I wish you every success with your wild horse efforts, and also with the wonderful radio show that you do for people.
Well, we thank you so much. I may have to give you a call sometime after the show and talk a little bit about these wild horses a little bit more.
Well, you do that anytime you want, Gary. This is my home number. This is my home number.
I got you.
All right. Mary Kay, so lovely to talk with you again.
Oh, lovely to talk to you, too.
You guys,
I hope we can share
it
with you today.
All right.
You need to record or do something again. Perform again. That'd be cool.
I'm performing all the time, and I'm recording right now. I'm supposed to go in the studio tomorrow. I'm working on a new project called For the Black Sheep.
Hooray.
Well, let us know.
The Black Sheep
let us
need
know
a
when
project.
That's done.
The Black Sheep do
done.
Need a project. They need a hit.
All right.
Need
I
hit.
Know, because right, I are one. All right, you guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot, Lacey.
Bye, Lacey. Right.
Adios.
Bye-bye. We're going to take a listen to Taking It Easy, Lacey J. Dalton. We'll be back in just a moment on Live from Nashville.
I want to go where the warm winds blow me. I just want to ease my mind. I want to run through the sand and the sun, leaving it all behind. Watch that old moon rising on the horizon, turning from gold to blue. It's just making it easy, taking it easy with you. Somewhere far away, those night birds call my name. I can hear them singing love songs just for me. And you, for a million summer nights, this dream has been the same. It's just you and me and the stars and the sand and the sea. I wanna go where the warm winds blow. I just wanna ease my mind. I wanna run through the sand and the sun, leaving it all behind. Watch that old moon rising on the horizon, turning from gold to blue. It's just making it easy, taking it easy with you. Every time I look into your emerald eyes, I just want to take you far away. 'Cause I know you deserve to live in paradise. Babe, you know I'll get you there someday.
Here we go.
I wanna go where the warm winds blow me. I just wanna ease my mind. I wanna run through the sand and the sun, leaving it all behind. Watch that old moon rising on the horizon, turning from gold. Just making it easy, taking it easy with you. I wanna go where the warm winds blow me. I just wanna ease my mind. I wanna run through the sand and the sun, leaving it all behind. Watch that old moon rise.
Well, that's Lacey J. Dalton, Taking It Easy. And Mary Kay Holt, did you have any fun today?
Today has been so much fun. I loved it. Loved our conversation and the music. She's so talented, I'll tell you.
Well, always great to have Lacey J. join us on the show. And I knew we'd end up talking about horses. We were talking about a whole lot about dogs early on, but I knew we'd end up talking about horses.
Well, we talked about dogs, divorce, Willard, and horses.
True. That's true. That's true. All of it. Yeah,
and, you know, we have something. Yeah, we have something extra special to talk to about with our listening audience today, because we have some amazing partners with us that have partnered up with us on EquestrianLegacy.net. Do you want to mention that, Gary Holt?
Well, we have, and so we have some tremendous sponsors that have joined us. Be sure and visit our website, EquestrianLegacy.net. Check out our sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that just love the Western and equestrian lifestyle, and also visit our Legacy Select Horse Campgrounds and Guest Ranches, since we were talking about horses, and visit east of Santa Fe for fine arts and collectibles. East of Santa Fe. All of that is on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. Well, we had a good show today. Lacey J is just so much fun to talk with always. We have a tremendous show coming up on Thursday on the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America. On the Campfire Cafe, we have Carlos Washington and Steel Horse Swing that's going to be joining us. We're going to have a great time visiting with Carlos. And then on the Saddle Up America portion of the show, we'll be talking with Randy Rasmussen with Backcountry Horsemen of America. And we'll also be visiting with Heather Sutton with True West Campgrounds in East Tennessee. So a lot of fun to look forward to on Thursday on the Campfire Cafe and on Saddle Up America. And we're going to have a great show next Tuesday on Live from Nashville. So for folks that were tuning in to listen to Del Ann Bradley, she will be with us next week. We had a little confusion as far as getting connected on the show, but she will be with us next Tuesday on Live from Nashville, as well as the talented young lady, Claudia Gibson. So we're going to have a great show on Live from Nashville next week. Well, we're going to kind of wrap things up, Mary Kay. And guess what? I'm going to close the show today with one of your songs, one of my favorite songs that you've done, and it's called Fringe. So thank you for listening. Be sure and join us on Thursday for the Campfire Cafe in Saddle Up America, and next Tuesday on Live from Nashville. Talk to you soon, darling.
Bye, y'all. Bye-bye, hon.
Bye-bye.
And air and rising up your bow. Turn the soundboard on righty and turn the light way down low. These are hard, hard times, and folks are coming head and eye. Let it go, let it go. So dance all built in 1910. These pine wood planks have seen a whole lot of dancing since then. Been through two world wars, years of drought and the Great Depression. So put your best boots on and we'll play a song. We've been through hard times before, we can do it again. Come on down and shake some fringe.
Shake some fringe.
Move a little closer.
Shake some fringe.
Take it on back.
Shake some fringe.
Give me a sister, show those cowboys where it's at.
Shake some fringe.
Texas twirl,
shake some fringe.
That pretty little girl,
shake some fringe.
Hold on, honey, we'll dance till the sun comes up again.
That bass is thumping, this joint is jumping. Folks from town and the county all around, every walk of life in every station.
We've got bills to pay, but baby, not today. This is our Saturday night salvation. So put your best boots on and we'll play a song. Cause when your life comes unhinged, you can come on down and shake some fringe.
Shake some fringe.
Move a little closer.
Shake some fringe.
Take it on back.
Shake some fringe.
Shimmy it, sister, show those cowboys where it's at.
Shake some fringe.
Give the Texas twirl.
Shake some fringe.
That pretty little girl.
Shake some fringe.
Hold on, honey, we're dancers. Forget the news, forget the blues, forget. Hey!
beg, steal, borrow. Cut your head and mouth. This is your life before you're found in this old dance hall in this western town.
Shake and free.
Move a little closer.
Shake and free.
Take it on back.
Shake and free.
Shimmy it to the shoulder. Cowboys, where is that?
Shake and free.
Hear the Texas twirl.
Shake and free.
That pretty little girl.
Shake and free.
Hold on, honey, we'll dance till the sun comes up. A little closer.
Shake them free.
Take it on back.
Shake them free.
Shimmy it just to show those cowboys where it's at.
Shake them free.
Give a Texas twirl.
Shake them free.
To that pretty little girl.
Shake them free.
Hold on, honey, we'll dance.